And welcome back to another exciting episode of X to Future. Today I have a fabulous director and producer today. Gino Alfonso? Did I get it right?
Yes. Yeah, thank you for having me, Simon.
I'm not done. We're here to discuss his film Hostage. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's great to be here.
So, after watching this film, I want people to know this is a very small budget film. I mean, it is a full-length feature. But I really felt you didn't have a budget. Am I
wrong?
Yeah,
it was very tight. It was I'd say probably around 40,000. So we were on the ultra low side for sure.
Yeah, I wanted to get into that right off the beginning. Did that really hold you back as a director at times? To do what you wanted to do?
So yeah, kind of how it was going was I had had a couple of projects and I was trying to do bigger budgets and it wasn't quite working because I hadn't, you know, gotten the track record or anything like that. So I'm like, all right, I'm not going to get $500,000 budgets for, you know, my first feature or anything like that. So I had to kind of go through my material and see what I can do on a smaller scale and what I had access to and that kind of thing. Started making some connections with some people and found a pretty solid group of investors that really helped push the first couple of films forward. And that kind of led into The Hostage. And the first person that actually got attached was Robert Lissardo. And we were originally going to shoot in L.A. because the writer, Randall Russell, is from L.A. and Tremaine. But it was right at the peak of COVID. And Lissardo said, don't shoot here. It's a madhouse. It's almost impossible to shoot independent film here. And he had shot a film in Colorado years before. And so he was all about coming back to Colorado to film. So he was the one that kind of spearheaded us to film where I was from in Colorado. So that actually worked to our benefit quite a lot, actually. And it actually saved us on budget, too. So that was really kind of how that came about, shooting in Colorado as opposed to L.A.
I want to discuss, I don't know how to describe your film. Maybe you could help me a bit. It seems to have a grain to it all the time. Now, is that on the film or is that added in post? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. No, that was kind of added in post too. We wanted to give it that that realism that, you know, you felt like you were in that situation, that, you know, drug bust gone wrong, that just happened to have a supernatural element mixed in there. So we wanted that audience to really feel what the characters were feeling in that moment.
So I really felt you're going for a 70s noir at times here.
Yeah, there's a lot of inspiration from those types of films, even like the original Evil Dead, early Quentin Tarantino style gangster type movies where, you know, like Reservoir Dogs or True Romance, where there's like the big shootout at the end kind of thing, but on a more independent level.
So when you were going into that, was that going to your mind to look up references ahead of time or did you just go by gut?
More by gut, just based off of the script and the dialogue. It was very much like a Quentin Tarantino style, you know, pacing, kind of that From Dusk Till Dawn, where like it's a regular movie, the first part, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, you know, and you're like thrown into this unnatural situation, but the regular circumstances are very real to a lot of people. So yeah, that was kind of what we were going for.
I want to discuss your opening shot. The lighting in your opening shot, is that a CGI added or is that the actual light?
No, that was the actual light. My partner actually did all the production design in the first scene. We lit the garage with nothing but candles in the garage.
There you go. There's
so that was
trick.
that was kind of the trick on that. And with shooting on the Red Dragon, it was really able to bring that graininess even more to life with that first situation and really put you into the movie.
So your actors, are these, they seem like they worked well together. Like they seem to actually know each other. So were
Yeah.
these friends or did you hire them all?
No, we it was kind of a mix of both. A lot of them I'd worked with on other projects. The only one that was not from Colorado was Robert Lissardo. Everyone else was Colorado based. And so what we did actually was with a lot of the actors that have to do stunts, they're actually a part of the stunt crew. So we just cast them as the actors so that when the stunts had to happen, we didn't have to use stunt doubles. So it made it a lot easier, saved a lot of time.
Okay, your apartment location, how'd you get that one?
The actual apartment. Yeah,
Yes.
so that was a friend of mine. We've used her house in almost every movie that I've done from her old house until she moved, and then we started using her new house. So she was
Ah!
kind of my go-to location. Like, you see a lot of actors in a lot of filmmakers' films. You see her house in a lot of my films. So it's kind of the go-to place to use, because she always has like certain areas either in the house or in areas of her neighborhood that really work. We actually used two different garages though. So the first one was hers, and then the other one was Tamir's, who's one of the actors in the film. He played the character of Grady. So the main garage was his, and the one in the beginning was the one that I've used more than once. So yeah, those are the two locations that we used for one location.
Okay, so I want since we'll talk about the garage, because did you set design the garage? You must have added stuff.
No, that was all there.
Really?
Everything was there. Everything was natural. That was the garage, and we just utilized what was in the space.
So the couch, I think it's a couch in the garage, isn't
The couch was placed. We brought that in,
okay.
but everything else, like the toolbox stuff and all the shelves and all that stuff, was all there.
So this guy spends a lot of time in this garage then, I
Yeah.
think.
Yeah, and that was a very kind of urban, like West Hollywood kind of thing from the writer Randy's experience just growing up there. And that was something that him and his friends did a lot growing up, was hanging out in garages. So he kind of brought a lot of that into that experience of the script, to kind of give it that realism, for something relatable to people of that age. And that's kind of where that inspiration came from for him.
I guess that must be a West Coast thing, because us guys to the East Coast did not hang out in garages.
Yeah, and it definitely isn't one in the Midwest, at least where I'm at in Colorado. I'm like, I never had any friends that just hung out in the garage.
Well, that's
But
I have one. I do now have one eggs out in the garage.
okay. It definitely made for interesting shooting, because we did mostly Steadicam work, so we had to be very careful and cautious of our surroundings, and each shot had to be very intricately planned and designed so that we knew where we were going and crew wasn't getting in the way of the shots. And we would have the Red Dragon shooting the actors' moments, and then we'd have the Stormtrooper Komodo shooting like all the action stuff on the other side. So we had two cameras going at once on either side of the garage. That's where the fluid movement kept going.
We're a film with a lot of action. You seem to shy away from blood. Now, why is that?
I think that goes back to more like the old school horror that I grew up on, the old black and whites where, like the less is more kind of thing. This definitely lent perfect for that. And it really lent itself well for it as well, because it's more in the character's reaction to the situation than actually seeing too much blood. Like some movies have too much of it, and it can be kind of detrimental to the story if it's too gratuitous. I mean, I'm not opposed to gratuity in movies. Like I can see the most gratuitous thing and sleep well at night, so that's not an issue for me. But yeah, it's really, for me, it's that less is more in a lot of situations.
Do you film that your budget If you had a bigger budget, would we have gotten blood then?
Probably a little bit more, yeah. Most definitely.
Okay. Now, I just want to go with it. At one point, you put green stuff on a person's shirt. What is the green stuff? Jello? Like a Jello mix?
Yeah, it was like a, how did the effects guy do that? It was like one of those like health food drinks.
Okay.
One of those like nutrition drinks, and it was like a really gunky one, like a kombucha or something like that. And he mixed like all kinds of fake blood particles and stuff in there, and like got it all gunky. And I think he put a little cottage cheese in it also,
Oh.
so it like gave it that little extra in
Interesting.
there. Like he everything was all practical on
Yeah,
the
I figured as
effects.
much.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go. You do a lot of filming at night. I mean, a ton.
Yeah.
And in very
Yeah,
low light. So were you just using
night
street
is.
lights?
A lot of the times, yeah, we do a lot of natural light. Depends on the location. For some of the like the drug deal scenes, we actually found there's a U-Haul right next to my apartment where I lived, and they kept the lights on all at night. So we actually didn't have to do much lighting. There we just placed the cars right under the lamp outside, so that actually worked out really well for that scene. But yeah, that particular film was all at night. The upcoming one, Closing Shift, is all shot at night as well.
Okay, so let's go off that. Now, as a director, is this something you enjoy doing? Is this something you look forward to that? Is that
I do,
your
yeah.
niche?
Yeah, horror is definitely a very big niche for me. I also do a lot of LGBT stuff. That's another niche for me. But horror, I mean, it's pretty much a sure bet. I mean, you get a really cool poster on, and even one name talent, even if they're maybe not A-list like a Tom Cruise, but somebody that people know, people get excited about it really easy. And if you do the right marketing, right promotion for it, that's really all you need. It's an easy sell, easier than like a soft drama or something like that, that you don't know what it's gonna do.
You have lost a little bit of music here. Music isn't, I wouldn't say, it's just subtle. It's there, but you gotta kind of listen for it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and that was also an intentional thing too, because one thing that kind of drives me nuts is when filmmakers overuse music to make you feel a certain way. The music should be almost like a character in the film, I think, where like if it's an unsettling moment, like you're not quite sure what made you feel that way. And a lot of the times it's the music that gives you that extra feeling of ick or surprise or whatever you might be feeling in that moment.
Did you feel that you wanted to expand your world here? I really felt the film felt trapped a couple of times. But I think that was budgetary constraints for you. Because, I mean, the
Yeah,
times
I
I
mean,
wanted to
we.
see more, I wanted to get out of the garage at some point, is what I'm trying to say. But I
Yeah,
understand financially
definitely.
you couldn't get out of the garage.
Yeah, I mean, we wanted to kind of keep it that way for this. We had talked about a little bit about a potential sequel where it gets a little bit bigger with the demon Aruka.
Okay.
So and the characters kind of expand a little bit, and it kind of how like Evil Dead 2, it was the bigger budget film of the first one. They were able to do more what they wanted with the first one and the second one. So we kind of want to do the same if we end up doing a sequel for The Hostage, is just give that little bit bigger, and then if we do another, the little bit bigger, but I think it has that potential definitely to expand more for sure.
Okay, the Demon Aruka, where did that come from? Does he exist really, or you made him up?
There's some hints of demons like that in the Bible.
Okay.
So it was loosely based on certain mythologies, for sure. And Lizardo is actually a very spiritual person, so he when we were shooting, and he was working with Amanda Rabinowitz, who's the goth girl in the film. He was kind of helping her with certain motivations based on the religious aspects of it, and kind of helping her with that to make her understand where she's coming from, to so that when he takes over her soul, you know, that she understood kind of where that was coming from.
As a director coming onto a project you didn't write, do you approach it differently than something you have written?
Yeah, a lot of the times, because of a project that you write and direct, you have a different vision for it, than something that you're brought on to. Randy and I had done a couple of projects together, writing wise. We'd done a short film together called Fresh Cola, and we had a way of working together and understanding each other's style, so it kind of worked out that way. And I typically don't usually collaborate on something that's not mine. I try to do a lot of my own stuff, but this one just really worked for us, and it was a lot of fun to do. And it was definitely an intense project. It was only a 6-day shoot, so it was long days, long hours. We'd start about 6 o'clock at night and get done about 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, brutal.
Yeah.
That's a brutal scene schedule. So let's start there. How do you work with your cast? I mean, you got the cast set, you have your money set, I understand that. And you're going to them, okay, we're going to shoot from 6 o'clock at night to 4 in the morning. They're like, what? Like, how does that feel? Is it, how do you get them prepped for that? What do you do?
Yeah, like, I mean, usually the actors, like, if they read the script and they're like, yeah, I'm on board, I want to do this, whatever it takes. One of the things that I pride myself on is putting together really strong teams of people, that have the same passion for the project and the story. And a lot of the times, so we'll have the script. And I come from a background in theater, so I'm very big on improvisation and kind of just letting yourself loose. So the script doesn't need to be like verbatim, as long as the scene is found within the moment. That's really what matters. So if it's as real as it could possibly be, you know, let the actors kind of mold the character themselves and find the character themselves. That gives them a little bit more freedom, and it makes it funner for them because they're not being restricted, you know, by, you know, a director that's like overly like anal on what they want. Like, you know, every like T has to be said a certain way. Like the Coen brothers, like they have very specific dialogue written, and if the actor changes it, they get frustrated with them. You know, so it's just a different way of directing the actors and working with them and getting them excited about it. And
So as a director, you're there and the guy does a slightly different take than what you went. So you're happy about that. You're like, hey, I like that. Keep going. So during this film in the garage, there's a man sitting on the steps at one point. I found that was a little bit more of a, it seemed to deviate from the script there, just the way he was talking. Do you know what I'm talking about near the end? I'm just saying, do you let them do
Yeah.
that a lot? Like, I could see that in the script, and I found at times they were doing different things.
No, I definitely let them you know, try out different things, and sometimes the choice that they've made as opposed to like the original take that I wanted is a better choice. And that's something that I'm very open to as a director, is playing with those, and if it works in the editing process, then I'll use it. And if not, then I'll go back to the original take that I originally wanted.
So, in shooting only a tight schedule of 6 days, do you find you get enough coverage in 6 days? And do you get everything you need in those 6 days? Or do you have to go back for reshoots? Or can you?
I've only had to come back for reshoots for two films. My first one, we did pickups in Lancaster, California, and then we're getting ready to do some pickup days for the one that we're finalizing now, closing shift. But yeah, typically we get enough coverage because, as I said before, I try to write with what I have access to, with what I know is doable on a tighter budget. So with that in mind, we're able to get the coverage we need if it's a just one location, like a house or garage or something like that. You have more freedom and more time to be able to do that kind of stuff. If you're using a, like say a restaurant or a physical location that's not yours or somebody's, house that's a friend of yours that's going to let you go for, 12 hours at a time if you only have a few hours at one place, you could get more coverage in that time just in that one location.
Do you feel as a director shooting at night, you have to motivate your crew more than you would during the day?
I think it depends on the material. I think for this one, it really worked because it was a supernatural horror with a little bit of action mixed in it, and it just really worked. And so the cast and crew understood that going in, and it didn't really seem to be an issue. Like I never had anyone complain like, "Oh, night shoot again." Like they actually, I think, preferred to shoot at night over shooting during the day because of the some of the restrictions during the day. Like if we're shooting outside, during the day there's more traffic, so you have to worry about sound issues more during the day. But at night, there's nobody around, so you don't have to worry about, a car coming down the street every 2 seconds and having to cut, or planes going overhead every 5 minutes or something like that, and waiting for, sound to clear. So night, it just actually makes it a lot smoother, to be honest.
While you were shooting this, did you think we should spend more time with the demon? He's only really has two main scenes. I thought we might have a.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of had planned on if the sequel takes off, to develop more with the demon. The first one was really kind of just the introductory to the
Okay.
demon, and it was more the focus of the two kids and their situation and how
Right.
they, got out of that situation. But there is definitely a lot of possibilities to expand on the demon character.
Interesting. So I presume the same guy playing the demon will come back to the next, at least I would hope so.
Oh yeah, most definitely. I think Robert would be more than happy to come on for playing Aruka again.
You do have CGI in this film, or am I wrong there? There is no
There was a
CGI.
little bit with the flames at the beginning when
Yes.
and the when you're in the demon's world for the little bit, we did a little bit of green screen, but
That's
not
what I was
much.
wondering.
Yeah, not
That's what I was
much.
thinking. Now, I don't want to really harp on this, but I am a bit. I felt this film was more of a drama. I know you call it a supernatural thriller, but I really felt it was coming off to me as a drama.
Yeah, it definitely has that at most of the times, and that's kind of what we wanted to,
Okay.
do a little bit differently, just because, we didn't want it to just be like every other supernatural demon possession movie that you're used to seeing, or it's like some kid or something in a bed like turning his head around, or
Right.
we didn't want the same tropes. We wanted to kind of branch
Okay.
out a little bit,
And then you
and do
got it
something
right.
different.
Then I was on board with you. Okay, so we are going
Cool.
the same direction. I did feel that I wanted to spend more time with these kids. I mean, like again, I really felt budget limited you to what I wanted to see. I wanted more of this world. In a sense, I wanted to get out. But as you tell me, you didn't have the budget to do it, so I can't take that away from you. So, when you're reading the script, you got everything ready as a director. You have your cameras, you've told me about that. Is there your shot selection predetermined, or sometimes you decide the day of?
I'll have a shot list, but then sometimes, not necessarily something that's wrong, but we're gonna pull the stop thing up.
Let me
So
hit
you're like,
record. Go ahead, I'll put it together.
Okay. For shot list, we base I'll have a shot list set up a lot of the times, but then sometimes due to location or scheduling reasons, sometimes it'll be more the fly by the seat of my pants kind of thing, like just, depending on what we need to get done. Like we were shooting anywhere from 25 to 35 pages a day
Oh.
on this script. So it was just constant moving, moving, moving. So a lot of the times it would really be more what the camera crew was going to be able to do with the time, with the constraints of the location as well. Being such a tight space, there was really only so much that we could do in that garage. And we had to kind of get creative with it, with what we had.
Here's a question. Costuming. I mean, you're shooting over 6 days. They have to be wearing the same thing every day. Now, do they have more than one outfit of that thing, or do you wash them every day?
We had a couple of different clothes for the ones that either got injured or hurt or killed or whatever. We had a couple of multiple pieces of clothing, and if we needed to wash, then we would wash the main ones that they would wear. But yeah, essentially it was all the same clothes for that one day of since it takes place over the period of a day. The same clothes the whole time.
No, I want to get into this, and I also don't want to worry about catering. Like, I mean, you can't really order anything at 6 in the morning, like
Oh,
six, unless
our
you.
it, we were doing water that shoot because it was like one of the hottest summers in Denver in like the
Oh.
last like 6 years. It was like 110 degrees every day.
Oh.
Like I think our water budget was like $2,000. Like
Wow.
it was insane. We were going through so much water. It was I'm like every probably hour or so I was just sending the PA to King Soopers to get more water.
That's
Like we would
funny.
just go through cases and cases of water.
So what did you learn after doing a 6 day shoot? Are you learning, hey, I can do anything now?
I definitely would like to expand. I mean, with the following film that I did, Closing Shift, we went from a 6 day shoot to a 9 day shoot. So it was nice to have that little bit extra. But it was a much bigger cast, still a very contained location, but it was a giant video store. So it's a little bit more spread out than just the garage. But it was nice to have that extra couple of days on that one. It provided us with a lot more. But I mean, ideally, like the sweet spot shoot for me would be probably a good 15 days if I could, just to give it a little bit more time, especially if there's like as much action or effects work like a hostage, just to have that little bit extra prep time so we're not feeling as rushed or constrained on doing the effects and stuff like that. At least 15 would be probably ideal.
Okay, I'm going to move off to fun questions. I'm sure you're prepared for them.
You know,
Your first time on the show, your favorite film?
Exorcist.
Your favorite movie snack?
Movie snack, probably peanut M&Ms.
Your favorite film from 2024?
Ooh, that's a tough one because there's like so many coming out the next week that I haven't even
I
seen yet.
know, the tough
And
week. I know, I have the same problem.
like Christmas, I'm like, I gotta like forget family. I'm spending the week at the movie theaters because I want to see Mufasa. I want to see Nosferatu. I want to see Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
I do. I have the same problem.
I definitely loved, as far as horror, I loved Late Night with the Devil. Was fantastic. The Substance was brilliant. One recently I saw that non-horror Conclave with Stanley Tucci and Ralph Fiennes was a brilliant film. The Bike Riders was probably one of my favorite earlier summer movies, with Tom Hardy. And I also really liked Tuesday with Julia Louis-Dreyfus. It was an amazing film.
Okay, before I let you go, I presume Tubi's the best spot to find your films.
We have them on Amazon Prime in US, Amazon Prime in UK. We have them on Tubi, Fossum, and Roku channel for right now.
Oh,
But they
that's
will be released in further streaming sites.
and for my Canadian listeners, they're not available in Canada. Is there a way people in Canada can access these films?
Not at the moment, but I know they are planning to expand, and we're in talks with some sales agents for international distribution.
Excellent. Thank you, and have a great day.
You bet. Thank you so much for having me.